Holy Spirit is so vast and deep, we could probably study, and we will, not probably, we will study this subject for all eternity. Because when we are talking about the Holy Spirit, we are in fact talking about Yahweh himself, because Yahweh is Spirit, and he is holy. Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit in one's life is the greatest and best possession we can have. But, sad to say, there's a lot of confusion in the Christian world concerning the Holy Spirit, or the subject of the Holy Spirit. Many questions are asked by folks. Here are a few. To whom is the Holy Spirit given? Where does he stay when he arrives? What does the Holy Spirit do while he is here? What gifts does the Holy Spirit bring with him? How does he distribute his gifts? Will he leave a person should he come to that person? How can we recognize the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives or in the lives of others? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I can't answer all these questions, obviously, but I'll answer most of them. The first one, who is the Holy Spirit given to? It's very important to know just who Yahweh, the God of Israel, gives his Holy Spirit to. Alright? That's part of him. That's himself. If you turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 32, you get the answer to that question. Who is the Holy Spirit given to? Acts 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So that's quite categoric. There's no doubt about that. God gives his Holy Spirit to those that obey him. He's not going to give his Holy Spirit. It's logical to see this. He's not going to give his Holy Spirit to those that disobey him. You wouldn't give anything of such value which you possess to people who are the very opposite to you, or who do the very things that you don't want them to do. You wouldn't do that. Well, neither does God. God only gives his Holy Spirit to his obedient followers. Alright? That's important to remember that. Now, when he comes, the Holy Spirit is given to the obedient. The question is, how does he come, and where does he stay when the Spirit is brought or given to an obedient believer? In John chapter 14, which David read a little while ago, we have some very, very detailed information about the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to turn to this chapter, John 14. It says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's another word for sayings or commandments in some kind. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if a person has faith in God and keeps his sayings or does what he wants, God and his Son will come, and by the Spirit this is, and live with that person. In fact, it goes on to say in verse 17, I think I'll read that one, John 14, verse 17, coming back to that. For the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, that's at this time, he says he's with you, but he shall be in you. Now that's a slight difference. At the moment he's with you, but he's going to be in you. Alright? So the Holy Spirit not only dwells with believers, but he dwells in believers. Like a house might be in the atmosphere, but the atmosphere is also in the house. Alright? Now, when the Holy Spirit does come to abide with or in a believer. What does he do there? It's important to know what he does. The Holy Spirit performs many duties. There's no way within a short lesson like this I could cover all of them. But I'm going to take some. John chapter 14. It says here in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So that's the first thing that the Holy Spirit does. He's an instructor. He says he will teach you all things. Now, all things is a very sweeping term. I'll tell you some of the things he's going to teach you. Verse 26 of chapter 15 tells us, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So he's going to teach you a lot. One of the things he's going to teach you about is about Christ. He's going to teach you about Christ. Who he is, what he does, what's his work, what are his plans, where he is at the moment, what's he going to do in the future. The Holy Spirit teaches you these things, using, of course, the Bible and experience and other things. He will testify of Christ. He will teach you all things. But he does more than that. Chapter 16, verse 8. And when he is come, talking again about the Comforter, I read from verse 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, here's what he's going to do. He will reprove the world of sin. That's another thing he does. He reproves the world of sin. Now sin is breaking the commandments. That's all sin is. And one of the Holy Spirit's tasks is to convict people that what you're doing is wrong. The commandment says this and you're doing that. The Holy Spirit, through our consciences, convicts. He brings up the truth from the Bible and says, here it is, that's what God says, you should be doing that. You're doing this. That's wrong. He's convicting you, convincing you of sin. That's one of his tasks. The second task he does in verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. In other words, he says, what you're doing is wrong. This is what you should be doing. That's sin and this is righteousness. So the Holy Spirit not only tells us what's wrong, but he also tells us what's right. And that's called righteousness. The third thing he does in that verse, he says, and of judgment. And the Holy Spirit presses home this truth. That's wrong, this is right. And you are going to be judged on what you do about it. That is a task, a special job of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it. You can't do it. The law can't do it. The law can only tell you what's right and wrong. But it can't press home a conviction. Can't make you do the right thing. Like a signpost on the road, a signpost can say, that's the road to London and this is the road to, say, Inverness. But a signpost can't make you move to London or Inverness. It can only tell you what's the road and point the way. The law of God is like that. It can only point the way to what's right and what's wrong. But it's the Holy Spirit that convinces you that's wrong, that's right. Now you're going to be judged. That's just three of his tasks. So we've learned something. When the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with or in a person, he testifies of Christ. He reproves the world of sin. He points the way to righteousness. And he convicts people about what they're going to do is going to be on judgment. Alright? He does other things. Chapter 16, verse 13. Verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's not only going to tell you what's wrong, what's right. He has an enormous catalogue of instruction and truth to tell you. And depending on how fast you want to go and how much time you devote to it, he's going to take you through this prospectus of understanding truth. And he will carry on till you've got all the truth you can take. That's one of his tasks. He will guide you into all truth. Not just tell you what's wrong and what's right and so on. Hundreds of other things the Holy Spirit wants to teach us, and He will guide you into all that. If you let Him, of course. It then goes on to say, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He hears, that shall He speak. In other words, he's not thinking up His own ideas. He's just reflecting the will of God. It says, He will show you things to come. In other words, He's going to open up your mind to prophetic truths, to what God has planned. If you really want to go along this pathway of truth, you're not only going to learn right down there on lesson one in the kindergarten what's right and wrong, but if you follow the way, He'll start teaching you lots of things, and then He will start showing you what God's plans are. He's going to show you things to come. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Now, if you pause to think about that, that's an enormous schedule. He's not only going to do that with one believer, He's going to do that with millions of believers. First tell them, that's wrong, don't do that. This is right, do this. By the way, you're going to be judged on that. And depending on how you react, He's going to start showing you other truths. And He's going to start opening up God's will and say, see, God's planning this. This is God's plan. He'll tell you inside secrets of God. And God is like that. He always revealeth His secrets to His servants, the prophets. Tells them what His plans. He doesn't tell His enemies His plans. Alright, so that's the hope. That's just a few of the Holy Spirit's tasks. I can't spend a long time on that. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He has gifts. He doesn't just come bankrupt of anything to give you. He's got gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter is about gifts. Verse 4 to 5, if you have a quick look, you'll see that there are different gifts. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4 to 5. Now there are a diversity of gifts. He's got all kinds of gifts. Not material things like money and cars and houses and things like that, but real important spiritual gifts. Right? And they manifest themselves in very different ways. He lists a few of those in verse 8. For by one, the Spirit gives wisdom. Wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's number one gift. It's placed there at the top of the list. To another, the word of knowledge. Knowledge, information we call it in this age, is a gift. Knowledge is power, they say in our bank. The more you know, knowledge is power, much more powerful than electrical power or mechanical power or magnetic power. Knowledge is power. Holy Spirit gives you knowledge. To another, He gives faith. Faith is a gift. To another, gifts of healing. To heal a person is a great gift. We sometimes think that's the most important, but it's down the list. To another, working miracles. You know, walking on water, breaking bread. This is a gift. Not everybody can do that. To another, to discern spirits. He can figure out and recognize that's the Spirit of God, that's not the Spirit of God. That's a demon. And to another, tongues. Speaking different languages. And to somebody else, the gift of interpreting tongues. So he just mentioned some of the gifts. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He gives gifts to the church. Now He doesn't give everybody the same gift. In verse 29 it says, are all apostles? The implied answer is no. Are all healers? No. They don't all have the gift of healing. Are all teachers? No, they aren't. They don't have all the gift of teaching or miracles. Do all have the gifts of healing? The implied answer is no, they don't. It's not necessary for everybody in this church to be a healer. One healer is enough. He can do it all for all of us. I'd be quite happy to have one healer. Alright? Do all speak in tongues? No, they don't. Some churches teach they should, and they all do. The Bible teaches that they all do not speak in tongues. They're not all being gifted with the gift of healing or the gift of interpretation. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He gives different gifts to the church. We're all members, and each one has a gift which is different. Some people have two and three gifts. Christ had gift of miracles, gift of healing, gift of wisdom, gift of faith. He never spoke in tongues, by the way, because he didn't go abroad. He was speaking to people who understood him, so he didn't have a gift of tongues. But the apostles needed the gift of tongues, and they were given that, because they were going to go abroad. They spoke to folks that came from all parts of the world. All right. So the Holy Spirit gives gifts.
Okay.
Now, the next question is, can the Holy Spirit leave once he's come? The Bible makes that clear. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, says it says in Ephesians 4:30. In fact, in Psalms it says, David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So God can take his Holy Spirit back. The Holy Spirit, very, very highly sensitive person. And if you grieve the Holy Spirit, he can leave. Like a spouse can get fed up and say, I've had enough. I cannot stay in this house any longer. I've got to go. And a partner can leave. Because the behavior of the opposite, the other, is so bad that they just chase them away. And the Holy Spirit can do that. He can leave a believer. If the believer's behavior is unbearable. Some people think the Holy Spirit cannot leave. He's scheduled to be taken away from the earth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn to that one, in verse 7, it says, the Spirit who is here on the earth, verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, that's God, Yahweh, who now letteth, will let. In other words, God is allowing things to happen until he, the second he is the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way, and then the wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So there's two spirits here at war. One is the Holy Spirit of God, and one is the wicked spirit of Satan. And the Holy Spirit will withdraw from society and then be taken out. And then this as evil genius will be allowed full sway on our earth. And you'll see things that you couldn't imagine. Because now the person who's restraining and keeping it back is the Holy Spirit all around the world. And when the Holy Spirit's taken away, in will flood the spirit of evil, the spirit of wickedness, the spirit of lawlessness. If you think you're seeing lawlessness now on a big scale, you haven't seen anything yet. Because really now the Holy Spirit's still keeping it at bay. It's like the sunshine still keeping the cold away. But let that sun go out, a place will become terrifyingly cold. And that's what's happening on the earth at the moment. The Holy Spirit is still holding in check certain things. But when he's taken out of the way, then in comes the spirit of evil. The Holy Spirit can be taken away from an individual, can be taken away from a society. All right? Now we have next point, evidence of the Holy Spirit. What is the evidence? How do you know you have the Holy Spirit? How does anybody know that another person's got the Holy Spirit? All right, the first and foremost sign of the Holy Spirit, obviously, is holiness. Holiness. Holiness is just another word for meaning sacred, pure, righteous, clean, without sin. In other words, in short, holiness is being like God. The more holy a person is, the more like God he is. If he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he is totally holy, pure. From no sin in him at all, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Like a glass, if it's filled with water, it's got nothing else in it but water. You can't say if it's got a stone in it or a little air, or a couple of bubbles or something floating at the bottom, or something floating on the top or something in the middle. You can't say it's filled with water. You can only say it's filled with water if there's nothing in it but water. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. Anyone who's filled with the Holy Spirit's got nothing in him or her but the Holy Spirit. They're full of holiness and pure. They're really clean through and through. It says now, what's the evidence? The question is, what is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, by the way, is described as like air, atmosphere. You can't sort of see him, but he's there. But how do you know he's there? Well, there's certain fruit. Don't mix up the fruit with the gifts. All right? There are certain things, the differences. I want to go back on that and really clarify in everybody's mind the difference between the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the hierarchic levels of authority in the church, which are not gifts, but they are levels of authority. I'll come back to that. And the fruit. We're talking on the fruit of the Holy Spirit now. This is evidence in a person's life that the Spirit is there. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5, verse 22, is love. A very difficult word to define in this world because it means all kinds of things to different people. But anyway, joy. We all agree on joy. People who have got the Holy Spirit are generally happy people. If they're miserable people, they haven't got the Holy Spirit in them. Because the second sign of the Holy Spirit is joy. If they're walking about miserable all the time, there's something not right. Joy. Peace. They're peaceful people. They're at peace with themselves, peace with their families. They're all the time at scrapping with everyone. That's not an evidence of the Holy Spirit. They're long-suffering. They're kind. They're gentle. They're meek. They're temperate. This is evidence, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's different from the gifts, which might be saying knowledge is a gift. Alright? So that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in a person's life. Fruit. Don't think that if a person does miracles, they've got the Holy Spirit in them. The power to work miracles is a supernatural gift. The Holy Spirit gives people power. Satan also gives people power. You know, the physicians of magicians of Pharaoh did some miracles. They made snakes. They did all kinds of things Moses did. They also did them. So they had miracles. And you remember, Moses' snake ate their snake up. So the Spirit of God has more power than Satan. But miracles is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Miracles is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Miracles is also a gift from Satan. He gives gifts to his folks too, and one of them is miracles. They could walk on fire, for instance. Or sit 15 feet up in the air. It says float over there. Those are supernatural, miraculous gifts. Alright, so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are different from the fruit. But the fruit is evidence that the Holy Spirit is there. Whereas miracles and tongues and knowledge and the ability to teach, they're just talents, they're just gifts. God gives them, and so does Satan. So evidence of the Holy Spirit is fruit. The biggest and best, the most powerful one is holiness, righteousness. Righteousness is defined by God's law. Obedience, in other words, is the best gift, is the best sign of the Holy Spirit, obedience. Because obedience is holiness. And then come these other ones like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, and so on. Those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's another area which people mix up, and that's the level of authority in the church. Now these aren't gifts, and they aren't fruit. Levels of authority in the church. I'll go to verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12. You'll see this now when you just think about it for a little while. Now, God has set in the church, verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, God first apostles. Now some of these apostles might have this gift or that gift or some other gift. But that's a level of authority. That's like a prime minister, and under him an under secretary, under him or something else. In the bank we have, you know, we have the director, and under him we have assistant directors, and then we have SEOs and principals. We have principals and SEOs and HEOs and EOs, and right the way down to the humble AA. So an apostle is not a gift. An apostle is a level of authority. It's a rank in the church. Under the apostles are prophets. Secondary under the apostles are prophets. That's another rank. The next rank is, what's it? Teachers. Obviously they've got to have knowledge in it and wisdom, which is a gift. You can hardly teach if you don't know. So there's teachers, that's a rank. After them, miracle workers. That's another rank. After them comes those who have the gift of healing. Then after them comes another rank, those who help. Oof, these helpers are very important. Then come those who are governing. They're really doing. They're doing the nitty-gritty of government. They're civil servants in the church. Then after them, right down at the bottom, come those who speak in tongues. So we have the Holy Spirit himself, we have the Holy Spirit's gifts, we have the ranks of the church to which he gives people various gifts, and we have a fruit. So everybody has to have the fruit, and the more of the Holy Spirit you have, the more fruit you'll bear. What rank you're in, God decides that. What gift you have, he decides that. But everyone can ask for the Holy Spirit. The last question is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians confuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit himself. Now the baptism, too, the way to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the reality, the real thing, is you have a water baptism of John. It's called a baptism of repentance. And in that thing, three things happen. The person is, as it were, converted. They bury the old man in the watery grave, and they rise up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life. It's a symbolic exercise. And the person who is doing it is an ordinary elder or church leader. He takes the person and buries them in a literal water and raises them up to walk as a new believer. It's all symbolic. But the real thing, which that symbol is pointing to, is Christ is the baptizer. He baptizes you, plunges you into the Spirit of God. Your old self, the old man, as the Bible called it, is dead. You rise a new person, and you walk in a completely, totally holy way. That's the reality. And when it happened in the book of Acts, you see these apostles, they rose with enormous, tremendous power, turned the world upside down with their preaching and their work. That's another big subject. So just briefly to end here on the subject of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Yahweh himself. It's part and parcel of Yahweh's life. He is a spirit and he is holy. The Holy Spirit is Yahweh's spirit. Alright? I can't really describe in detail because I don't fully understand myself. That's the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of the Most High. Alright. To whom is the Holy Spirit given? We answered that question. First one. To whom is the Holy Spirit given? To those that obey. Yahweh is not going to give his own Holy Spirit to persistently disobedient people. He will not do that. Who would do that? If Yahweh makes a commandment and people reject it and have nothing to do with it, do you think he's going to give them his Holy Spirit? I would, and I say this with honesty and all the logic I can muster, I would seriously doubt his intelligence. If he's making strong claims and commandments and people are violating them at will, he's going to give his Holy Spirit to them. I think, what is the matter with you? Doesn't make sense to me. You're giving your Holy Spirit to the very people who are blatantly breaking your law. It's like giving your Holy Spirit to Satan. There's something not right here. So Yahweh and his book says that. He only gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And the more obedient they are, the more he gives his Holy Spirit to them. In exact proportion to their desire and performance to obey. Alright, second point. When the Holy Spirit comes to abide, he abides with and inside a believer. He takes up his residence in a person like we do in a house. Alright? If any man will love me and keep my words, which is keep my commandments, my Father will love him, and we will come and take up our residence in him. Holy Spirit comes and lives in people. Satan also lives in people. We call that demon possession. And Satan takes over a human mind. Well, God takes over a human mind too. We call that Holy Spirit possession. Now the Holy Spirit does work. There's lots of things I mentioned. It's difficult to remember them all, but if you want the note, it's here. Right, I can't just rattle it off. I have to look at the things to remind myself what all he's doing. When the Spirit and the Comforter comes, he's going to teach you all things. There's such a lot to be taught. Can we remember a few of the things? He's going to remind you of the things I've told you. He's going to remind you of Christ. He's going to testify of Christ. That's an enormous task in itself. Anything else the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to guide you into all truth. I mean, that's an enormous field. Just pause for a while and think about it. That'll take an eternity. He's going to guide us and teach us all things. What does he do with the world, or just believers all along? He does three things in that verse in John chapter 16. When he comes, he will reprove the world of sin. That's the first thing. What is sin? Sin is doing the wrong thing. That's all it is. It's breaking a law. So he tells them, don't do that. That's breaking the commandment. This commandment or that commandment. So the first thing Holy Spirit does is he reproves and says, that's wrong. He doesn't just stop there. What does he do next? He tells you what's right, of righteousness, that's right. He tells you, this is the proper thing to do. Don't do that, that's wrong. Do this, this is right. That's righteousness. And then he lays flat on your brain a very, very clear conclusion. What is it? Of judgment. It's up to you now. I've told you. That's wrong, that's right. You're going to be judged on what you do. Alright, now that's not all his tasks. He does other things. He guides you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. I mean, this is a terrific privilege. Open up your spiritual eyes to see the future. It's an enormous privilege. He's going to explain God's plan to the church. And he's done that. And then he glorifies the Father. He glorify me. For he shall not receive of mine, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. That's an enormous field itself. Then he gives gifts. He doesn't only tell you, oh, you're wrong here, and you're wrong here, and you're wrong there. You know, that's a pretty sort of a fearful task. It's hard for anybody to tell another who's wrong. Holy Spirit doesn't like it any more than we do. But anyway, he has to do it, and he does it. All right, then he gives us gifts. He gives the church gifts. What are the gifts? Can you mention some of the gifts?
Healing
is a gift.
Teaching
is a gift.
Tongues
is a gift. Prophecy is a gift. What was the first gift which was mentioned, by the way?
Apostles.
Wisdom. Oh no, we're coming now. Apostles is a rank. An apostle in that rank might have wisdom, healing, tongues. He might have all those gifts. But apostles is a rank. It's a hierarchic position. First apostles. Under that, prophets. Obviously the prophets have to have the gift of prophecy, otherwise they wouldn't be prophets. You could hardly have a prophet without the gift of prophecy. He has that, you know, it's like I have a teacher, he's got to know. So a teacher is a rank, and he's got to have knowledge, the gift of knowledge and wisdom and so on. So just think about these things. There's the gifts, and then there's the ranks to which he gives these. Some people have many gifts. In fact, the higher up the ladder of power you are, or position, obviously you'd have more and more gifts. Alright. But then there's something else which you can tell a Holy Spirit is in the person's life. What is that? That's fruit. That's different. Don't mix that up with the gifts or the ranks. That's the fruit. What is the fruit?
Love, joy, peace.
Love, joy, peace. You see, we should all in every rank have that too. But it's a different thing. If you don't have that, well, then you don't have anything. And there's something better than a lot. He goes on in chapter 13 to say, even if I have all this, even if I'm an apostle and I speak with tongues and do many, many miracles, if I don't have love, pointless. It's like I'm at the top of the ladder. In this company, I'm the assistant president. But I'm so stupidly hateful, that spoils the whole thing. So love is another subject which I can't talk on, or I won't talk on today because of time. But that's some important information about the Holy Spirit. Remember that, it's from God's Word. And if you want a copy, we'll give you a copy of the sermon note 0703. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thy Spirit will rest in, not only with us, but in us, and that we will exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that each one in this little group and the various groups around the world who worship thee will not only receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he brings, but will rise up and use them for the glory of thy name and the furtherance of thy cause. We ask thy blessing on Christian groups around the world in thy name. Amen.